All right, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. As I mentioned to you last Wednesday night, this Bible study will go hand in hand with the message that we had on pressing toward the mark. That was our message last Wednesday night. And that message, the two points of that message were this. Number one, we are saved by grace and not works. That was point number one. Therefore, point number two was, let's press toward the mark. We're not saved by anything we do. So, let's press toward the mark. Now, I have been looking at and thinking about this passage of Scripture for a little while. And as I have thought on it, and I want to speak candidly to us today, very candidly. But everything that I feel led to say, it became very clear to me that I was not going to have enough time in this Bible study to get it done. And I was trying to rush through, and I finally realized I need to break this up into two parts. So this Bible study will be an intro to what our Lord has to say to us. We're going to look at the reason why we need to heed what our Lord has to say to us. Our Lord gave us some very clear instruction right here on how to pray and in what manner to pray, what to pray, how to pray, what manner to pray in. And I want us to see the reason why we need desperately to heed what he has said to us. And then if the Lord is willing, tonight, we'll do part two tonight. In tonight's message, we'll look more deeply at what he has to say to us and the manner itself. Now, this is something that has been weighing on my heart very heavily for this congregation. I truly do want to, for us to enter into this. I am begging the Lord to tune us into this. I have been honestly burdened about, very, very heavy for this congregation. And this is what my prayer is. My prayer is that the Lord will burden all of us, every single one of us, with this desire and with this prayer and with this manner. I pray the Lord will deeply, deeply burden us. And that's the point of the lesson. What we see as an intro this morning and physically get into tonight, this is the point and this is the message of the lesson here. I pray the Lord will very deeply burden us with this desire and this prayer in this manner. Now let's see what our Lord has to say to us in verses 5 to 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Our Lord said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet," and he means your private place, that secret place. "And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, what he said so far is, this is not about you. That's what he has said so far. This is not about us. This is about him. Prayer is not about our glory. It's not about our glory at all. Prayer is about his glory. Prayer is not about our desire, which, if we really get a hold of this, is a shocking thing to understand. Prayer is not about what we want. Prayer is about what he wants. Prayer is about his desire. Prayer is not about us notifying him of what we need. Well, we need some things, so let's all go to him in prayer. That's not what prayer is about. It's not about us notifying him of what we need. Verse 8 says, your Father knows what things you have need of before you even ask him. He already knows everything we have need of. So all we're doing in prayer is acknowledging him in these things. That's all we're doing in prayer, is acknowledging him in these things. True prayer is acknowledging his glory in whatever we're praying for. That's what true prayer is. True prayer is acknowledging his desire and his will and his purpose and his all-knowing, all-controlling hand in whatever we're praying for. There's nothing we could say to him that he doesn't know. There's no request we could make that he has not already determined the outcome of it. He will not change. He is the Lord. That's the only reason we're not consumed. We cannot influence him. So all we're doing in prayer is acknowledging him and acknowledging that. And what we're saying is, we willingly bow to you. That's what we're saying when we pray. We bow to your control over whatever the situation is we're praying for. We acknowledge you in it. We bow to you. Therefore, verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9, our Lord said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He said, when you pray after this manner. You pray in this way. And what a prayer that is. Now, let me say again that the point of this Bible study is, may God give us a burden. I'll confess to you, I don't have enough of a burden to pray. The apostle said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not just how to pray, yes, but Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to come to you. And my prayer is that the Lord will give us a burden to pray, a desire and an understanding of the need to pray, and a heart to pray this prayer in this manner. Now, we just read verses 5 to 13. In 5 to 8, our Lord said, don't do this. That's what he said, don't do this. In verses 5 to 8, he said, don't go out into public and make a scene with your prayer. And we all need to learn this. This is something that many, many people do. They want to be seen in prayer. They want to be seen in prayer. I don't have... Prayer is a wonderful thing. Our Lord said, pray without ceasing. Pray, 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 pray. But, you know, if I'm going to gather at a restaurant with a group of people and announce, well, let's all bow our heads, we're going to have prayer, we don't have to all do that for me to pray. If I want to pray to Him, I can go to my secret place. I don't have to be seen of men in doing it. Because whenever you're seen of men in doing it, you know you're seen of men in doing it. I just prayed for us. And my great desire and prayer to the Lord is that He will let me forget that there's anybody else in the room. Because I don't need to, we're not putting on a show. We're not. Our Lord said, don't, when you pray, don't do these things. Don't go out into public and make a scene with your prayer. Don't try to attract attention to yourself. That's what He's saying. Don't use prayer for your glory. Don't use prayer for your glory. And don't look to your own effort in prayer. And you know, I call on you men to pray. And I only call on the ones who just hate themselves when they pray. If I'm proud of myself in prayer, then I don't need to be praying. But it's not about my job and how I'm doing in prayer. Prayer is all about Him. It doesn't matter how I fumble. None of those things matter. None of those things matter. He's saying, don't look to your own effort in the prayer. Don't look to other men seeing your effort, and don't look to your own effort. Don't look to the length of your prayer. Well, I don't pray as long as somebody else does. I got to pray these long prayers. He said, it's not in the length of your prayer. Our Lord said, I look on the heart of the matter. I think about when Peter prayed as he was sinking down into the sea. You remember Peter walked on the water. And all of a sudden, he stopped looking to Christ and he started looking to himself. And as he had as much time as it takes for your feet to go under till his mouth went under. And all he could get out was, Lord, save me. And immediately, it was an effectual prayer. Three words. So our Lord said, when you pray from the heart, pray in this way. Don't say these words. Vainly repeat them over and over again. Let's not teach our children these vain repetition prayers that everybody knows. You know, before we go to bed, it's now I lay me down to sleep. Or we sit down at a meal and we say whatever that one is, you know what I'm talking about. God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. That's not prayer. That is vain repetition. Let's not use Hail Mary, full of grace. That's not even praying to God. That's praying to Mary. But you understand what I'm saying. Let's not use vain repetitions. And then after this manner, he said, without using these words, pray in this way. Now, he mentions four things concerning God, Father, Son, and Spirit. In verse 9, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Oh, the reverence and the fear and the... Many people lose that and they get very casual and very common with it. And it's not a good thing. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy, holy. So that's the first thing. Our Father which art in heaven. Second thing, hallowed be thy name. Third thing, thy kingdom come. We want you to come and you're coming. And then the fourth thing is he said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Just like you're doing your will in heaven, do it in earth. You are going to do it in earth. And then he mentions four things concerning us. He said in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And I'm going to expound on a little bit of this tonight. The second thing is he said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he said, lead us not into temptation. Don't let us go into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then he mentions four more things concerning the Lord God. He said, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I pray the Lord will cause us to enter into this instruction, enter into this burden. I pray he'll burden our hearts to do what he's telling us to do and cause us to pray and pray these things and pray with this heart in this manner. And here's the reason why. All right, I told you I was going to get candid with you. Here's the reason why. We are right now a young congregation. We are young in the average age of our members, and we are young in the amount of time that the Lord has allowed us to be together. This congregation formed in 2006, 14 years ago. But that doesn't mean that we were all here 14 years ago, all here together 14 years ago. It is a young amount of time that the Lord has allowed us to be together as a congregation. And everything is very fervent right now. There's a lot going on here. This is a moment in time where the Lord is building the ministry here. Every ministry that he's ever raised up has had a moment in time of building. And for this ministry, we are in it. We're in it. He is adding such as should be saved. He's given us a building to work on, and Lord willing, we're going to move into it. To me, this is a very exciting time. I believe it's a very exciting time. It's a moment where we as a congregation are very focused on the ministry. We're having all these work days. It's like everything in our lives are revolving around the ministry here. We're very focused on it. We have no choice but to be focused on it. There's too much to do. Our hearts are dwelling on and they are committed to the ministry of the gospel right here in Kingsport. It's a very fervent time and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I'm glad you're a part of it. I'm very glad. But if we are not careful, we will lose this. And I mean it. We will. It's just a lot going on and just, oh yeah, so exciting. And yeah, we're moving, you know, we got the little building and we're going to the big building. And if we are not careful, we will lose this. If we are not vigilant, and as the scripture says, sober about these things, we will lose what God has given to us here. Now, Gabe, are you saying we'll all lose our salvation? Never. Never, never, never. If I saved myself, I can lose my salvation. But if God saved me, what God does is forever. Never. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I've kept them in the blood that I shed on the cross of Calvary for them. and none of them is lost. None of the elect sinners that were given to me by my Father, and I specifically shed my blood for, none of them have ever been and will ever be lost. Never. He said, I've given unto them eternal life. That's what he gave to us on the cross of Calvary. I've given unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No matter what, our salvation is not dependent on us. It's not dependent on what we do. It's not dependent on what we don't do. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. And the Word of God says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If He loved us and gave Himself for us, we are as eternally secure right now as we will ever be. Complete in Him, the Scripture says. Salvation's of the Lord. He started the work. He finished the work. All of God's elect are forever secure. All right, then what am I talking about? You say, Gabe, what are we going to lose? You say, we're going to lose what we have. What are we going to lose? Here's what it is. We will lose the blessed privilege of having a fervent heart for these matters. That is a privilege from God. We will lose the joy that comes from having a fervent heart for these matters. It's a gift. It's a present from God. And when He gives it, it brings so much joy, just so much joy. We will become complacent. We will be. We will become lukewarm, as our Lord warned us about. And we'll lose our heart for the ministry. And you don't know it when it happens. Our Lord said, I would rather you were hot or cold. I'd rather you were hot or cold. But when you're lukewarm, you don't care. You just lulled. It's just, you just don't care. We'll lose our heart for the ministry. We'll lose our heart for the gospel. And we'll lose our heart for each other. The Lord has given us a heart for each other. I believe you are for me, and I believe I'm for you, and I believe y'all are for each other. And here's the point. Here's the point. Here's my burden. This is the reason for the whole thing. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that to happen. I don't believe you do either. So I pray the Lord will teach us something right here and allow us to take this to heart. This is what He said. If you ask, you shall receive. He said, if you ask a good thing in my name, you'll receive it. And a fervent heart for the ministry of the gospel of God's people is a good thing. It's a good thing. He said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it's all because the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man, Christ the Lord, His prayer availed much. What was His prayer? He said, Father, forgive them. Because His prayer availed much. He said, the prayer of the ones that He prayed for will avail much. So let's take this to heart. May God put this effectual, fervent prayer in our hearts. What we just read in Matthew 6. Now, we're going to read it again, and I pray the Lord will let us enter into it again. And if He's willing, we'll go more deeply into what He's saying and the manner He's telling us to pray tonight. But I want to read something to you that Brother Henry Mahan gave to me many years ago. And this is in his handwriting, so hopefully I'll be able to read it clearly. He gave this to me right after I started preaching. It impacted me greatly. It still does. But the reason I want to read this to you is because this is about preaching. But the same thing applies to hearing and every aspect of being a member of God's congregation. All right. So he gave me something that Charles Spurgeon wrote. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "For many years, my own preaching was exceedingly painful to me." And I can enter into that. And he said, "It's because of the fear and trembling which beset me before entering the pulpit." And I can enter into that. He said, "Often the dread of facing my hearers has been overwhelming. I wrote to my grandfather, who was a minister of God, and I told him of the overwhelming mental emotion, sickness of body, and trembling fears which gripped my heart when I preached the word. The old gentleman wrote back," his grandfather, who was a preacher of the gospel, wrote back, "My son, I have been preaching the gospel 60 years, and I still feel the same trembling and fears you feel. Be content to have it so. For when these emotions go away, your strength will be gone. When you are able to preach and think nothing of it," and I'll add to this, when we are all able to hear and think nothing of it, and gather and think nothing of it, and whatever that pertains to God's ministry and think nothing of it. He said, "When you are able to preach and think nothing of it, when you are able to teach God's word and think nothing of it, people will think nothing of it, and God will think nothing of it." Here's a reason to be burdened over this. There is a reason to cry out for this fervency. And a little light to be shed on what we're going to look at tonight is, he said, this is what you need to pray. You need to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil." That's the part he gave concerning us. So I pray the Lord will burden our hearts with this. And the Lord willing, we'll continue it tonight. All right, you're dismissed.